B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The Phillies aren't going to get another starting pitcher because they'll feel as if they've gotten their legit starter. Like, is anyone taking that angle? Please tell me no.
I don't even think Drew Smyly's taking that angle.
You know who's definitely not taking that angle? Nick Pivetta.
Exactly.
610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Something interesting happened over the weekend other than Drew Smyly comparisons to Cliff Lee. Darren Sproles, yet again, became a Philadelphia Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
That now makes 8 running backs on the Eagles roster.
And you're not exaggerating. Literally 8?
No, there are literally 8 running backs on the Eagles roster. Probably on the bubble right now. Donnell Pumphrey.
Oh, he's gone. Let's not even waste time.
Wendell Smallwood.
Give him a chance to go find another camp somewhere.
Wendell Smallwood is like, look, I don't want to say, you know how a cockroach can survive a nuclear blast? I'm not saying he's a cockroach, but somehow he keeps on turning up, all right?
Yeah.
Wendell Smallwood.
I don't think for long.
Donnell Pumphrey, Josh Adams, Corey Clement.
I would imagine Adams is a guy they'd like to keep on the practice squad if they could.
Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, and now Darren Sproles.
It'll be interesting to see if
Boston Scott,
Miles Sanders' soft tissue injury that held him out of OTAs is fine, because we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced at all,
and that probably cost him a little bit. I don't think he's going to contribute a ton the first like 4 or 5 games of the year.
But the last we heard was that the only reason Miles Sanders was staying out was because of a precautionary reasons, is what Doug Peterson called it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get more of an explanation later in this week when Doug Peterson does address the media again. But that's a crowded backfield to say the least. Now let's not forget, I believe each of the last 2 seasons, the Eagles have broken camp with 5 running backs. Which is a lot of running backs. I don't know if that's a change in the guard in the NFL, Trey. I don't know what you would chalk that up to, because maybe so many different teams use so many different running backs now. Very rarely do they have that one back that they really ride heavy, unless you're Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott or even Todd Gurley in the early parts of last season. But you look at it, most teams, they all have the multiple running backs. So you might see 5 running backs again when they break camp, but they have 8 right now. And this is a position that we talked about last week, and you like Jordan Howard as a guy that would be the kind of featured guy that get the most carries, but a guy that might get the most touches is Corey Clement when it comes to rushing and receiving.
Yeah.
And then Miles Sanders is a guy that can do both, has to work on his fumbling issue. Apparently from the get-go, he was a high and tight guy, teaching him how to not fumble. Deuce Daly had him on that, your old teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do this, but now Darren Sproles back in the mix. What does that mean? How do they use him?
Hey, well, you know, Sproles has always been kind of a spark, you know, someone that you can bring in, a change of pace guy, someone that, you know, that you can hide behind the offensive line, that can get out and be a receiver, someone that you can hit him with draws, and also, too, I mean, if push comes to shove, you have him at punt return. I mean, he's only 164 yards away from being, fifth place?
Yeah.
Taking fifth place in all-purpose yards?
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, this is a guy that you're like, all right, hey, we're going to bring you back. This is another future Hall of Famer.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Throw him back to punt return. I mean, how many punt returns do you get anyway a game? So I don't think a lot of times it's fair catches, a lot of times it's corner kicks, whatever it is. So you put him back there, and then you throw out an offense where you have Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Dallas Goedert, Nelson Aguilar, Zach Ertz, and the defense looks and says, oh, no, Darren Sproles is in the backfield now?
Mm-hmm.
You throw him in motion or whatever? My God, I'll still, at 36, take him one-on-one with a linebacker any day of the week.
Oh, any day. I mean, there's what linebacker is going to keep up with him?
Exactly. So I love it. Even if he only gets at 5 touches a game at most, I'm fine with it. I love him.
Yeah.
And on your running back point, Mark, I do think they keep 5. I think they keep Boston Scott as insurance to Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
So I think Smallwood, Adams, and Pumphrey are the odd men out on this.
I think it's a weird thing. So you have Pumphrey and Smallwood, you said?
Pumphrey, Smallwood, and Adams are going to be the guys that are gone. I think you keep Howard, Sanders, Clement, Sproles, and Boston Scott as the surprise.
And that was one of the few people that Doug really went on to talk about, like, at length, was Boston Scott in one of his press conferences during minicamp and during OTAs. Like, he just really liked his game and even had the Darren Sproles comparison for him. But this is a situation now where I think Doug is going to look at Darren Sproles as kind of a, in case of emergency, break glass. Like, when you need that change of momentum, that change of pace in a game, bang, you got Darren Sproles running down the sidelines for a touchdown. Yeah. You have him running out of the backfield. You have him try to, you know, return a punt, return a kick, whatever it might be. It's not. I don't think it's going to be the type of guy that you're going to see get like 10 touches like he did in week one last year.
No, I don't think he's going to be. He's not your workhorse. He's not the one that you're going to get out there and feature. But he is a good change of pace guy. Someone that you could bring in. You're going to have a couple packages in there for him, and maybe five, like you say, five or six touches, a couple out of the backfield, and there you go. You know, and that's your day. Because when you look at everybody else, I mean, you know, Jordan, big back, Corey Clement, he's a bigger back as well, but is probably one of the better receivers. Then we don't know where Miles Sanders is, but then, you know, you bring someone in like a Sproles, just a nice change of pace guy, somebody that you can hit a draw with out of the backfield, a nice little screen, whatever you can, get in one-on-one with a linebacker, because now you have all of these weapons out there, especially the safety isn't going to be able to come down to help. Your linebackers are going to just be sitting there, you know, knees just knocking, because, I mean, how are you going to keep up with Sproles?
Yeah. I mean, last year, what was it? Houston, I think, at home, where he took the swing pass from Foles and went 30, 40 yards for the touchdown when the offense was kind of like, you know, a little bit slow. I just think, to me, it always seems like he gives you positive plays. And something always positive happens when Darren Sproles gets the ball in his hand. So I love the signing. I was pumped on Saturday when I heard about it. I think it just adds another weapon to an offense that's already full of them.
We talked about it last week. I didn't think he was coming back. Like, if you would have bet money on him coming back, I would have bet heavy that he was not. But the one thing that made me just question that was that when the coach really loves a guy, sometimes there's exceptions made to bring that guy back. That would be the guy that Sproles, of anybody on that team that was on the Super Bowl team, maybe Brandon Graham, who they also brought back, but obviously he's not 36. He was the one guy that I thought would be the exception to the rule. Darren Sproles, in terms of a coach just really loving the way one guy plays and one guy leads by example, yeah, he wants him back on his roster.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're getting out of Sproles. You know that he's going to come in, he's putting in the work, he's someone that he brings a lot to the table. I think bringing Sproles back is it's something that you can't lose.
Yeah, no, you know, I agree.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think he could still give you special plays in the game. That's the big thing.
And he's someone that can run between the tackles as well. It's not going to always be outside zone or tosses and everything. He's someone that you can hit him with a draw. He's someone that can get between the tackles. He's a smaller cat, so he can hide behind offensive linemen. Next thing you know, he's breaking out of there. And he doesn't take big hits.
Yeah.
You know, being a smaller guy, when you're in there, you're battling with the D lineman, he doesn't take big hits. He protects himself. He gets what he can, and then he gets out of there.
He was probably their best in-between tackle runner they had all last season.
Yeah. Especially when you're talking about a lot of combination blocks, everything is going to be inside zone. He understands, okay, you know what? If it's not there, then here's the cutback. Let me just, if it's not there, let me go ahead and just get 2-3 yards. You keep the drive alive. You stay ahead of the downs.
Positive place.
All right, so I still love him coming back. I'm shocked that it actually did happen. But you have a guy who still has something left in the tank, 36 years old. I remember before last season, he was talking about how his daughter wanted him to stay home and he wanted to retire, right? Mm-hmm. And then guess what? Nah, she wanted him to keep playing.
Sounds to me like he's ring chasing. I mean, Adam Schefter told us, 3 weeks ago that he's between the Saints, the Chargers, and the Eagles, his former teams. He chose the Eagles. Mm. What does that tell you?
That tells you he thinks he can win here.
Yeah. He loves Philadelphia, he said.
I mean, if Kyle Korver had come to the Sixers, I would have said the same thing for him, but he went to the Bucks. But Darren Sproles looks like he's ring chasing one last time.
Yeah, did somebody hit the fan with Chief Beef? I thought Kyle Korver was coming back.
He sounded pretty confident.
Yeah. I asked him about somebody that played here with a Justin Bieber haircut, and he said, yeah.
Maybe there's somebody else out there we don't know about with a Justin Bieber haircut.
Maybe Thabo Sefolosha.
Oh, wow.
Does that do anything for you?
No.
No. Not really. Sorry.
Maybe they could have offered him more money in Milwaukee. I'm not sure. I know he got like 2.6.
Right.
I'm not sure what the vet minimum would have been here.
I don't
for
think
him.
It was money. From what I heard and read this
time.
Weekend. No, it's his relationship with Mike Budenholzer, who was his coach down in Atlanta. He felt real comfortable playing
with
him.
Well, what the hell? Elton was his teammate in Atlanta, Bob.
I know. And Brett Brown's also from that coaching tree where Mike Budenholzer
played with
came
Horford,
from,
too.
So.
And Mike Scott.
Dude.
He's got three former teammates
don't
here.
Don't take your free agency frustrations
get
out
the hell
of
the out of here, really.
Budenholzer. All right. Now, we got into this.
Chief Beef. I got your Budenholzer.
We got into this last week talking about pressure on Carson Wentz, right? What does it all mean, that whole thing? And we got into the conversation you were getting to in the middays, Jamie.
Yeah.
You and Andrew Salchunas.
It was a good debate.
It was. But I want to focus on Carson because football is beyond coming back around right now, right? Like, it never goes away. Obviously, the Sixers had a great run. The Phillies have made a lot of headlines and all that stuff. We got a lot to talk about. But with Carson in particular, just forget about the pressure for a second. Like, what exactly are we expecting from this guy? Because the...
I expect an MVP Super Bowl season.
Right. Yeah. So
that's exactly what I expect.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Sorry to put a little pressure on you, Carson.
Yeah. I'm expecting MVP.
So what people have been throwing against the wall with Carson, it's not exactly just guess and test type of stuff. Like, throw it against the wall, see what sticks. But like Lewis Riddick, for instance, he throws out there that he's going to be the MVP of the season. He throws out there that the Eagles are going to go back to the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Carson is the biggest cog in the wheel, is obvious to say, right?
Sure.
But is this going to be the type of season where we're looking at Carson the same way we did last year, where it just doesn't look the same? It's almost, did he set the bar too high in his second year of being a starter? Did he set it too high and the expectations too high? Or is that really going to be the norm? Like we were talking about a second ago with Drew Smiley, almost joking about it, right? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be the way he's going to pitch every game, where it's six innings and one-run baseball? Is that setting the bar too high? Carson had an incredible season. The expectation for him is to be an MVP caliber quarterback for the remainder of his career. So that's what we're going to get into now. With the weapons that he has, with these eight running backs to choose from between camp opening on Thursday and then the end of the season, like, with all the weapons he's going to have in front of him, how good will he be? Because I think people look at Patrick Mahomes right now and say, oh, well, he can't be the MVP because Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP again. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be this incredible 50-touchdown type of quarterback every single year. So I want to get into exactly what we're expecting from Carson, because I feel like everybody's on the same page, and rarely, rarely can we go into a season with everybody on the same page regarding the starting quarterback. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you right now. If you want to talk about Carson Wentz, talk some Eagles football, we got open lines for you. Time of the Fanatic is 712.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie, I know you tweeted this out, but before we get back into the Carson Wentz conversation, this is one of the most sickening, in a good way, things I'd ever seen.
It does a injustice to lists of any type.
Well, no. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about the Oliver Drake pitch. It's so random, and I apologize for that.
It broke my brain.
Oliver Drake's a pitcher for the Rays right now. And he threw a pitch on Saturday night, I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the technical term is screwball.
I guess. Somebody was saying it might be some kind of weird changeup he has.
Oh, no. No,
it's a screwball.
No, but it was like, what, 84 miles per hour, if I saw
something
the thing
like
correctly?
It was wicked.
He threw a pitch as a right-handed pitcher.
How he has an elbow. Like, is it just a rubber band
He's
in
a
there?
Different species. He's an alien. He can detach.
He escaped the Area 51.
Exactly. The Philly, actually, Klentak's going to Area 51 to find a pitcher like this. So we're set. We're good, people. But no, so he throws out this pitch that was just, like, confusing. My brain froze, and I've watched it at least 100 times.
I keep watching it. I'm like, how, what?
Right-handed pitcher that, and the pitch sharply breaks right. away from the left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it's on my timeline. I'll retweet it from the station account. It's, if you didn't see it, it's worth watching because it'll break your brain.
Yeah.
It is nuts.
And
it's cartoonish, right? I mean, it doesn't look real.
Yeah, it looks like a Bugs versus, like, was it Bugs and Daffy that would, like, play baseball from time to time?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it looked like one of those.
There was an old movie, and I can't remember. It might have been It Happens Every Spring, where a pitcher rubs this substance on the ball. He puts this thing in the mitt, and it, like, repels wood. So the ball, when it's thrown at the batter, it goes around the bat, no matter what the batter does. That's what this pitch looked like. It was absolutely wicked. 610-632-0975. Sam, let's get an update on our Twitter poll real quick.
This morning we asked, did Drew Smyly look like Cliff Lee yesterday? We had just over 1,000 votes so far. 66% say no.
Oh, but it's trending in the right direction because he did look like Cliff Lee yesterday.
I tweeted the picture out.
Not talent-wise, which is what Gabe Kapler said.
Yes.
Not talent-wise. He just looked like Cliff
Lee
yesterday.
Like J.R. Ryder used to dunk like Dominique.
Right. When I had hair, I looked like Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
Was I Aaron Rodgers?
No.
No, I was not.
Was J.R. Ryder Dominique?
Nope.
No. But he looked like him when he dunked.
Exactly. That's all we're saying here.
I didn't see it. Sorry. I'm going to look harder. And you put up a couple pictures side by side, James, which did absolutely nothing for me. I just didn't see it. Cliff Lee did not enter my mind yesterday when I was watching one Drew Smyly.
Trey, did you get any Cliff Lee in your mind?
I looked at the picture. You know, it looks like two left-hand pitchers. You know?
See? Yeah. That's all we need, Trey. Thank you. I rest my case. Right. Yeah. I rest my case.
Uh-huh. Yeah, both of them had like a stubble beard. You know what I mean?
See? Look. Yeah.
They both had a uniform on that said Philly.
Yeah, they both had on Philly uniforms.
All right, now you're just being
belt.
Now you're just being disrespectful.
Uh-huh. Same kind of uniform, too.
Yeah.
Same.
They had a glove on their right hand.
Yeah, they did. And uh-huh. I think it was a Rawlings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
I can see how
right.
They probably
exactly.
had red Quincy. Shoes.
Probably Red mm-hmm. Sox.
Red Sox, yeah, I would think so.
I saw that too.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, uh-huh. What's happening now is they're having a contest to say who could say the smartassest thing ever.
Yeah.
The most smartassness.
We're right. We know it. It's okay.
That's fine. I'll live in my pool of the rightness. Do have to tell you, 7 o'clock hours brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. And that Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation, where you can take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So we're talking about Carson Wentz. And we talked about the pressure that may or may not be on Carson Wentz going into the season. Regardless, I think we can all look at it and go, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on a guy who is now taking over the team, the guy that's the Super Bowl MVP. They've moved on from him, and it's now 100% injury-free Carson's show from start to finish. That's what's happened with the Eagles. So they've surrounded him with some great weapons. Alshon Jeffery, most notably. Bringing DeSean Jackson back with him. Nelson Agholor, you hope, has a year that's more like 2 years ago than it was just last season. They have a backfield that's extremely crowded right now. Maybe they have a future Hall of Famer and a guy like Darren Sproles. Jason Peters is back for another year. They draft a first-round pick. Andre Dillard is going to be taken over at left tackle eventually. So they have all these pieces in place to help out Carson Wentz in that offense. The defense looks like it's going to be pretty solid as well. But how good will Carson Wentz be this year? Will he be the MVP of the league? Or will he have just good numbers and a winning record and a playoff push? What are the expectations for Carson Wentz? Because I say this team is at least a team that's going to win the NFC. At least a team that's going to win the NFC and possibly a Super Bowl. When I look at the offense, I think they're stacked. When I look at the defense, I think they're a huge threat. I think their defensive line, against what most people are saying, I think their defensive line, most thanks to that middle of the defensive line, is going to be an unstoppable force for you this year. So offensively and defensively, and now with Darren Sproles on special teams, I think they're a stacked team that's going to go back to a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, though, when you look at him leading this team, what is the expectation for Carson? Is it just going to be a matter of good numbers, or is it going to be a matter of winning games with him at quarterback? How is it going to work out with Carson this year, Trey?
I think he's going to come back in MVP form. I think, you know, adding these weapons to his arsenal, he's going to open it up. And also, I think that what he went through last year towards the end of the season where, you know, you have receivers or whoever it was talking about how he was only looking for Ertz and how he was neglecting the other wide receivers. I think that that's going to spark, it's going to make him want to spread the ball around, make sure that he's getting everybody involved in the offense. And but you're going to need that offensive line to keep him clean. Because, I mean, you got to give him time. Now, he needs to help himself by getting rid of the ball a lot quicker, you know, staying ahead of it, not sitting around holding on to the ball. See it, go get it. You know, because I think everything should, having DeSean Jackson definitely clears up a lot. So, you know, you can have somebody that could go over the top, then now he should be, make your reason, get rid of that ball, and let's go.
40
touchdowns. We're going to rock that 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10.
Here you go. I'm going to give you the number right here. 40 touchdowns. For Carson Wentz.
It's more than fair.
40 touchdowns for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
9 interceptions.
Wow. It moved.
Boom. Oh, it did it? Did it?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Bob, how's that make you feel?
I have in my notes between 40 and 50 and over 4,000 yards.
Wow.
And look, MVP and all that stuff, I those awards, whatever. And he might not be MVP. He's just a really good quarterback. And the numbers that you throw out, Trey said earlier, not on this subject, but. It's the new norm. I really do believe that this kid is that good of a quarterback that between 40 and 50 a year, 4,000 touchdowns, not that many interceptions, and a lot of wins, I think that's the norm. I don't think he has to be the MVP of the league for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, for the Eagles to go to the NFL, but I think he is so good that he's going to carry him there anyway. Whether it's an MVP season or not, he's going to have a great year.
We can sling it.
We've seen him play great, right? We've seen him play great, but have we seen him play great long enough to the point where we can call him a great quarterback?
No. Not yet.
No, right?
No, I'll trade an MVP award for 16 games.
Yeah, exactly, right? So let's say he goes out and puts up 40-9, right? Let's say he goes out and does that. And I think, the yards, especially in this day and age, Bob, 4,000, 5,000 yards, whatever, the yards are going to come.
Right.
But if you look at the 40 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, let's say that happens. But then Patrick Mahomes goes out there again and has 50 touchdowns with 12 interceptions, whatever it might be, he's going to be the MVP of the league. Does that mean you don't want Carson Wentz anymore? No, absolutely not. So really what it comes down to is how this team wins with him at quarterback and whether or not they can dominate, whether or not they can just go out and ball for 16 games in the regular season, get that first round bye, and then just go to the NFC Championship game and rock that out. It's a matter of whether or not he can start and finish a season where you make the playoffs and he actually wins you playoff games. Because for me, forget about the numbers. Like, that's my prediction. And that might be bold, but I think it's totally plausible. What really matters for Carson this year, the ultimate test, the more I think about it, is whether or not he gets to the playoffs and he wins. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Because you know what Cowboys fans have right now? Those rat bastard Cowboy fans, you know what they have right now?
What's that?
Their quarterback has been to the playoffs and he's won. He's got a playoff win under his belt. I want to see Carson get that first playoff notch on his belt. That's what I think is going to be the most important thing to him this year.
Yeah, I think
not
so.
Numbers. It's not. Yeah, sure, you're going to win in the regular season, but winning in the playoffs is what matters most to him.
Yeah, getting there too.
Sure.
Yeah, he has to get there, and then I think that, you know, Carson's going to do everything he can to get back. You know, he knows what's at stake, and you know what type he is. Everything that he is presented, he's not someone that you say you see him as being a leader, but then he goes off and he's doing other little stuff. He's really about that leadership role. I mean, he owns it, and I think that he's going to come in ready to rock.
All right, let's see what Tom has to say in Pine Hill. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up there, Tom?
How you doing today, guys?
Great, man.
All right.
Question, Lance. I don't care about making it to the MVP, being an MVP during the season. He just needs to stop overthinking the game, play his position, and not take any risk. Get us to the Super Bowl, and then he can do whatever he needs to do and take us to the championship. He's a quality quarterback. He can throw the ball anywhere on the field, and he's got to throw the ball to let his guys go get the ball. And that's what Foles did. You know, I think with Wentz is such a student of the game, I think he's going to mature this year and not take a lot of chances when he doesn't have to. And understand that throwing the ball away isn't necessarily giving up. It's play in the play the next play. You can't get a touchdown every play.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Tommy. A little bit of a bad connection there. But here's the thing, and I know a lot of people are taking this from Nick Foles. And I love Nick Foles. I mean, I was never a Nick Foles hater. The guy's the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise. They're the greatest thing in the history of the franchise. Trey, one day you'll be just as good as Halapulavati Vaitai. But anyway, but when you look at this team, right?
Hurt my feelings. It does not hurt my feelings.
And it should not, because you know it's said tongue-in-cheek with sarcasm.
It does not hurt my feelings.
But keep telling yourself. Keep telling. No, but in all seriousness, yeah. I hate when people say, oh, he really learned from Nick Foles. Like, I'm sure that Nick Foles being in the league longer than Carson Wentz, he picked up a thing or two, right? But I don't think Carson needed some kind of education on how to throw in traffic or how to throw balls up to let his wide receivers make plays, because people have such recency bias. Carson Wentz in 2017 was nothing short of spectacular. Nothing short. And look, we've talked about the numbers before in the past and compared them and all that stuff. Carson Wentz, numbers-wise, had a better season last year than he did in his possible MVP season, right? In 2017. He had better numbers. But looking at the quarterback play the position, 2017 was remarkable. 2018 seemed fairly average.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching those two guys, watching Carson Wentz 2017 versus 2018 Carson Wentz, it looked like two totally different guys, despite the numbers being almost better in 2018. I just want to see that type of comfortability again with Carson Wentz on the field, because before he got injured in 2017, the guy was incredible. I mean, I know that people just roll out there all the time so easy, just rolls off the tongue. He would have been MVP of the league. Yeah, probably. But just go back and watch even the highlights of him play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the escapability, the smart throws downfield, looking like a guy that wasn't playing in his sophomore season, but more like his 10th season in the league. That's the guy I think you're going to see again this year. I think most people are betting on seeing that Carson Wentz again.
Yeah, because, I mean, now you have the pressure off of you. You know, you have the pressure to come back and perform, but it's not like how it was coming back off of 2018 where, you know, you got hurt, your team went on to win the Super Bowl, you have to push back from injury, get back, you know, you're pushing, you're rushing to get back so that you can go out there and perform. You put all of this pressure on yourself to go out there and perform. And then you come back, and I mean, he was getting his head knocked off. The protection was not there for him. I mean, his first game back, he had 5 sacks, I believe. 3 or 4 sacks, hit probably like, 6, 7 more times. I wish I had all my notes on me. But I mean, you know, for those first, I think it was the first 3 games back, he was sacked 15 times or something like 13 times. You know, where, you know, that's tough. When you're coming back from injury, then now you have the back and everything else that's going on. So, and you're just fighting. You're trying to get something to happen, but the energy wasn't there the same with the team.
And put those two together. So, as Trey said, he had to come back from that knee injury. So he rehabbed as hard as he could to come back from that. That's not your normal football offseason for a Carson Wentz. It's not he's throwing a football, he's reading defense, throwing the receiver. He's rehabbing a knee. Mm-hmm. Then he comes back and he breaks his back. Put that in with what Mark said about his numbers were probably better. They would have panned out to be even better than his MVP season. That's why I'm ultimately confident. This guy's just a really good quarterback. And he doesn't have to be MVP to me in order to lead this team to another Super Bowl win. He just needs to be Carson Wentz, I think.
Yeah. Are we all anybody doubting that he is going to be an all-time great quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah.
I don't doubt that a little bit.
The only thing I doubt is if he'll stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's it. I think as long as he's healthy, he'll be a great quarterback.
Like, injury prone or not, but any young quarterback that's had the amount of injuries that he's had, like, I think that's a fair statement, but anybody in the NFL, any young quarterback can get hurt. But we all know he has the talent to be an all-time great.
You know, like Aaron Rodgers is a guy. I said this on Saturday with Andrew. I was like, you know, do they talk in Green Bay Sports Radio the way we do about Carson, about how often Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? Because, look, he's a mobile quarterback that gets hurt. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Eagles organization this offseason, I say, hey, here's a highlight package of Russell Wilson. Watch how great he is at getting out of bounds, at throwing the ball away, at not taking hits. He really is the mobile quarterback that you should try and model your game after, because he's so smart. He's able to escape risky situations. And I think Carson has to take a page out of Russell Wilson's playbook.
Now, that's a great model to follow.
Yeah.
That's
like the guy hasn't missed a game in his career. And he's a mobile quarterback that has an excellent arm. He's cerebral. He reads defenses as good as anyone. you know, I
relies on his running game when
he
needs to.
Like he just gets it as a mobile quarterback. He gets it.
Speaking of some guys that you know, we were talking about how talented the roster is, how talented the offense is. Jamie had a interesting run in with one of the many people on that offense. We'll get into that in a little bit here. But Joe, I love when people tell me tell us what highway they're on. Joe,
well, we do ask people where they are.
Joe on the Jersey Turnpike, and that's not just a shot. What's going on there, Joe?
Yeah, it's clear sailing here.
There you go,
Delaware. My issue is it's Peterson. He has to call a more balanced offense. Like if I'd rather see him be like an Aikman. You know, when Aikman had those quarterback years where they were. You know, he wasn't passing 150 times. We got great running backs now. If he runs a balanced offense, he could be, I don't care if he's MVP. He'll play more. He'll get 16 games in possibly. And, you know, my fear is that Mahomes is going to be a great quarterback. And I think I don't want Peterson comparing his toy to Andy Reid's toy, where, you know, they're chucking it up 50 times a day. I mean, if you go back to the Tennessee game, that was the worst game that Peterson called all last year. And that I think that's where he hurt his back, too. So, I don't want to see him chuck it up. I mean, obviously, he has weapons galore.
Right.
And, you know, when Jackson's in there, those safeties will be back. And you know, that's when we run. And, you know, Jordan Howard, they think he's the best blocking running back, I think, besides Ezekiel Elliott in the NFL. So, I mean, you know, at third down, they think he's going out for a pass, or he stones a linebacker. So I'm real happy with everything Howie did, and I normally was really critical of him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, run the balanced offense, and then he becomes the MVP like that. Everybody wants him to be 17, but maybe he passes a little less with this offense, and our defense is better. And that's my fear.
Joe, to your point, I mean, they're just right now they have heat running backs on the roster that all have a good claim to make the roster. So for the regular season, but so to your point, they're not ignoring running back.
Good. I know. They're not ignoring it. Now run it next year.
Okay. All right.
Use those guys. You got two tight ends that are just outstanding right now, Goddard and Ertz. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now we got everything on offense. And he runs that ball more, we're going to win. I'm one of the biggest pessimists and callers you can find.
Look, Joe, I tell you what, Joe.
I really think we got a shot.
Joe, we're going to air it out. I'm going to let you know that right now, man. We're going to air that
I
thing out.
I know we are. I fear that for him.
Yeah, I think they're going to still have a balanced attack, though. You know, but we're going to air it out.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Are you also a basketball fan?
I'm an all-sports fan.
So, do you hate three-pointers?
No.
All right, good, because that's the way the game's played in the NBA
now. We're going to air it out.
And the way the game's played in the NFL is like, hey, yeah, we have all these running backs. That's nice. But, throw the ball downfield.
Man, you know Mike Groh. Oh, look at all those pretty balls. I like to see the pretty balls fly. Look at the balls fly.
And, Joe, don't get me wrong. I like your call, and I appreciate it. But I'm just saying.
Oh, we're going to air it out.
Oh, yeah.
You have all these weapons. You can spread the offense. Doug is sitting around. Mine is just everything is swirling. Routes. Everything. Oh, like, oh, yeah, we're going to air this thing out.
You know, Bob, only if we had some kind of in for the Eagles locker room when it comes to the skill positions, whatever you want to call them. And I think that's a derogatory term. I know that's what they call it, but like for the wide receivers and running backs.
Right.
Only if we had an in. If we could somehow get inside that locker room, maybe talk to a guy that was a member of the Super Bowl team, a guy that was a member of the team last year. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but one of us had a run-in. With Alshon Jeffrey yesterday. One of us had a run-in. Maybe a member of the family. Extended Fanatic Morning Show family as well. So we'll get that take coming up in a few. Maybe somebody talked to Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Time of the Fanatic 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
We started the show by talking about beating the Heat over the weekend, and I patted myself on the back for being Uncle of the Year. setting up the pool for the kids. So they came in. My niece and nephew came into the city. Right?
Wait, setting up the pool?
Setting up the pool.
You put water in it?
You got to blow it up, Bob.
Oh, I thought it was a. I thought it was just there all the time,
Bob,
blown up.
Bob.
My fault. Bob. I don't know how these city pools work, Mark. You know, being as I live in a. Another country.
Were you about to say third world? Did you catch yourself?
No,
did you say,
I wasn't.
Would you
no,
about
I wasn't.
Say third world country,
no,
Bob?
No.
Think we caught him on it, Jamie. Jamie, I think we caught him on it. you know, we were talking about beating the heat and all that fun stuff. Most of us stayed inside, right? Right. What about going to the movies?
That's yeah, like Bob, the all-time... Bob talked a big game about going to see Lion King on Friday.
In my defense, I was ready to go, and the person I was going to go with said no.
I assume that's Donna?
Yeah.
Was it the same guy that said, no, I don't want your FanFest tickets, Bob?
But I do get rejected a lot, don't I? Thanks, Mark.
Going to see Lion King?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $185 million.
How about that?
In the opening weekend.
Yeah, I'm good on that one.
What, you don't want to go see Lion King?
No.
Why not?
I already seen it.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have.
Apparently, it's a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah.
But with like, real animals.
Yeah. Yeah, real animals.
Yeah, real.
Well, do you guys hate animals all of a sudden? What's wrong with you, you jerks? No?
Yeah, I'm passing. I'm good.
Did anyone see Aladdin with Will Smith as Genie?
No, it creates
me out. I'm not seeing that.
Is that already out?
That came and gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My wife took the boys to watch Crawl.
What's Crawl?
I guess the one, I don't know, the one with the gators. Where the area flooded.
Yeah, with the alligators and stuff.
Yeah, they watched that.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Trey Thomas ain't seeing that movie.
No, I didn't make it to that one.
What was the review? Was it positive?
She said it was cool. It was entertaining.
Huh. The kids do not want to move to Florida. They'll say that much.
Yeah, they're like, I'm out on Florida.
My son and I sat around and watched Dark Knight yesterday.
So nice. That's a great flick.
Oh, yeah, man. One of my favorites.
I watched Lethal Weapon 1 last night.
Oh, the OG.
It was great.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I hadn't seen it in so long.
Phenomenal picture.
Yeah.
I love that movie. No, that's great. Lethal Weapon 2. Is Lethal Weapon... Which one's the diplomatic immunity? That's 2, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Whoever that blonde lady was and the pretty lady with the lady. Oh, my God. I forget her name, but God. She was gorgeous. Anyway, so $185 million for Lion King over the weekend. So that absolutely crushed it. But some people actually did venture out and about. And one of those people, two of those people, were the Lynches, Jamie Lynch and Skylar Lynch. Now, was Addie Lynch, the missus, was she with you in the
stretcher? She was with us. She was the one pushing us to get out of the house. I was totally cool sitting in the AC all day.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah.
So you guys go out and about with baby Skylar.
Yeah.
And you're walking around and you run into two, not one, but two Philadelphia athletes.
Yes, and I was not stalking their social media, as some people might have claimed on Twitter.
I don't believe you, but go ahead.
No, I was doing some quick grocery shopping yesterday at Whole Foods on South Street, and I ran into one Super Bowl champion, Alshon Jeffrey.
Really?
Yes, I did. He was at the hot bar getting a little lunch.
Oh,
and
that's
then
a great hot
he was
bar.
Doing some additional shopping as well.
I love the wings.
Yeah.
You can't put those wings past
good
me.
Good stuff.
And even with the weather?
I went turkey hoagie.
Oh, did you? Even with the weather, I'll go for a good lobster bisque. I don't care.
I'm a soup in hot weather kind of guy.
I don't care. Yeah, because you know what? I'm eating an AC.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Exactly.
I love lobster bisque.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Oh.
I soak that up, man. I put all the oyster crackers in there. Crab soup. Forget about it.
Did you introduce yourself?
I did, but not by name. We have a mutual friend, a guy named Andre Odom, who played Temple football.
Okay.
And
great guy.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people. He's the best.
Right.
He's tight with Andre or with Alshon. So I just was kind of like, hey, man, you know, best of luck this season. Stay healthy out there. We talked for maybe 45 seconds. And then I was like, all right, man. Go get that ring or something like, you know, something corny like that.
Nice job.
And yeah, he's like, yeah, Andre's my man. That's my family. You know, like all that stuff. It was just real quick, real brief, but he was awesome. He was cool.
Did he comment on the baby?
No, I was actually a step away in the cheese section, I think, at our second encounter.
Oh, you left your child. Okay, go ahead.
They were somewhere else. I think they were in the fruit and veggie section. And then we kind of had a re-encounter at the checkout line.
That's always awkward.
And I was like, Addie, I want to get a picture with Alshon and Skylar. Like, that'd be cool. And she was like, no, you're not bothering him. And I was like, he won't care. And then we didn't. And I regret it.
Really?
So one day when I show her the Super Bowl 52 highlight film or DVD, Blu-ray,
right.
Whatever,
right.
I can say, hey, you see that guy that just jumped up in the end zone and went and got that ball?
Mm-hmm.
And caught a great touchdown. And there you are with them.
Well, by then it won't even be a DVD. It'll just be a computer chip planted in their brains.
I'll project it out of my wrist onto a wall.
You'll like pull your earlobe and it'll project out of your eye onto a white screen TV or whatever.
Yeah, but Alshon was great. He was cool.
I don't know if there's ever been an athlete that has shot me down for an interview but been just kidding about it more than Alshon. Like, no, man, I ain't talking today.
All right, what did you want to talk about?
But what you got? And I'm like, are we doing it? What? Like, and every time it catches me off guard, he would have taken a picture with the baby.
100%. I know he would have.
So, yeah. But that's not all. That's not all.
Yeah.
That's not enough for Jamie Lynch and Skyler. They go out, they brave the weather, and who else is running
to? It was National Ice Cream Day, so the missus called in an ice cream trip after dinner. So we hit the little Franklin Fountain in Old City.
Oh!
Nice little parking ticket pay it forward thing that was going on yesterday. As we pulled in, somebody gave us their ticket and said, hey, there's 40 minutes left on here. We got our ice cream. There was still like 30 minutes left. We gave it to the next person. And they were like, oh, I'm going to continue to pay this forward. And I was like, yeah, take that, PPA.
But it's not a parking ticket. It's the voucher thing.
Yeah, the voucher.
Take that, PPA.
It's the little things in life that get Jamie said.
Hey, there you go.
And we were walking into Franklin Fountain, and newest Sixer Josh Richardson walked by.
Just hanging out.
All decked out in Tennessee gear.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because I was like, Tennessee gear? Oh, that's Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
All right.
Two encounters in the city yesterday.
Any pictures? Did Skyler get a picture?
Nah, I didn't talk to him.
Is it true that Skyler told Josh Richardson, hey, I love the way you play defense?
I love your two-way potential.
Then Skyler met Mike Scott and got a tattoo. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
That's a full day.
I mean, as corny as it is, I love seeing the guys embracing the city, out and about, just being normal. Like, it's cool to see.
Corny? I eat that up with a spoon. You kidding me? Anytime an athlete, even if it's BS, like a guy just signs her or whatever. Trey, this is where you guys get us all the time. It's like, well, you know, I just love Philadelphia, walking around the city. Mm-hmm. Probably 70% of the time is complete BS?
Yeah.
Because they're like, they're not going
outside.
Well,
I saw a quote from Alshon this morning. It says he wants to finish his career as an Eagle, and he loves it here.
Well, he had his camp over the weekend.
Yeah. Right? He was helping out the youth, they were in the bubble on Saturday.
Yeah, so he was probably working up an appetite to go out to Whole Foods and then see you. So he's out there, and they ask him about the drop to end the season. And, like, it's an interesting thing in Philadelphia. And, yeah, you could probably look at the Super Bowl and say that's why we're like this now. But because we won, I guess, like, and Alshon was a big part of that team and had himself a great Super Bowl and all that.
I felt for him with that drop. I wasn't angry.
Like, we all got, like, it wasn't like a Bill Buckner experience in Philadelphia.
No, not at all.
It was an immediate, Alshon, I love you. Like, you know how you're a kid and, like, there might be a bad pitcher on your, like, little league team and he gives up all the home runs? Mm-hmm. And you might be like, you suck, you know, because you're a kid.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.